What a mixed bunch they were. In fact, I almost used the word grotty, but I thought maybe that was a bit blunt for the apostles. There was Simon the Zealot. He was a freedom fighter, if you agreed with him, or possibly a terrorist if you didn't. And then there was Matthew, a tax collector hated by the Jews because of his cooperation and collaboration with the Roman overlords. So it's a bit like having Jeremy Corbyn and Nigel Farage in your same group. One left wing, one right wing. And that was one of the differences in this group. Preparing this sermon, I've appreciated the fact that they were such a mixed bunch, maybe more than any other time in my life. Then James and John were sons of thunder. What did that mean? Well, it probably meant they were bad-tempered and always looking for a fight. And they quarrelled about which of them would be the chief when, you know, Jesus became king, who would be the boss alongside Jesus, so to speak. Then there was Peter. He was impulsive and short-tempered. And then was Thomas, who never seemed to get the message. He always had to have things explained to him more than once. Now, we could, of course, pause at this point and try and think of Christians we have known who are like that. Maybe we shouldn't. We'll move on. Some were uneducated, possibly illiterate. Others were clever. And so they were really a bunch of... Well, to put them together was not perhaps a good idea on the face of it, because they were so different from one another. Someone actually said, and I quote, that the disciples were individuals who were at various times thick-headed, impulsive, self-centered, thoughtless, and narrow-minded. And yet Jesus called them. He didn't just call Gideon, we were thinking about earlier in the service, who felt he was not up to anything, but he called that bunch. And he called them to a very, very important calling and purpose. He chose that they were to be the people through whom he was going to win the world. I mean, would you have chosen that lot? I think I'd at least have gone to a theological college, but even then you're never quite sure what comes out. But listen to this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers, and that of course included the apostles, were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That grotty group became the foundation, humanly speaking, of that church, which was so united, so at one, meeting together, praising God together daily. What had happened? Well, of course, we know what had happened, don't we? We know that Pentecost had happened. We know that the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon them. And we know that this grotty bunch had been brought together into a really united koinonia. I'm going to keep using that Greek word, koinonia, because it's a very good word, especially if I pronounce it right, which I didn't, koinonia. It means fellowship, a close fellowship where people are committed to one another, as well as, of course, to the Lord. So that mixed bunch were formed into that. And if they hadn't been, then they wouldn't have had much impact upon the world. And the mission that Jesus had and had for the church would not actually have worked out. If you've received the Holy Spirit, and you can't be a Christian without receiving the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. You can say receiving Jesus if you like, amounts to the same thing. But if you receive the Holy Spirit, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, that's a slightly different issue because not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to go on being filled with the Spirit. Why? Because we leak, said somebody. We go on being filled with the Spirit. But if we have received the Spirit, if we're filled with the Spirit, then we will be molded into a koinonia. It's meant to be corporate as well as individual. I was mentioning to someone last evening, I went to the Methodist anniversary to meet everybody, and I was saying how it reminded me, part of that last evening, of the time when as an 8-year-old in the gospel mission, I received Jesus, is the language I would have used at the time. And that's important individual faith. But it's not the whole story, it's only 50% of it. Because God wants to build us into a real koinonia, a real fellowship, a powerful witnessing fellowship. And so individualism is not God's way. Thank God for individuals. Thank God we're all different. Vive la difference, as I said in a previous sermon. But we're meant to be built together into a real fellowship. If we don't want to be moulded together into a united koinonia, then Brough and Stainmore will suffer. Talking this morning about a church that was blown apart by disputes and quarrelling. I don't know what the reasons were. But if we are not united in a koinonia, brothers and sisters, then Brough and Stainmore will suffer. We're not in it just for ourselves, are we? God forbid. Of course we're in it to bless one another. We need to do that. That's part of the koinonia. But we're here for Brough and Stainmore. We're here for the people who are without God and without hope in this parish. And we have a responsibility. And God will, well, we will stand before God to answer for how we've handled our responsibility. It's not just me. You can't get out of it by asking me to do it. You know, delegation, the wrong sort of delegation. Of course, I have a very important role, and I'm very grateful and humbled to have it. But it's us together. We will not achieve it unless we are a united koinonia. Unless we are, yes, all the differences, and we won't agree over everything. Of course we won't. Songs don't fall out. That doesn't matter. But if we're not a united koinonia, then we will not do what we should do in Brough and Stainmore. And we will have to answer to God for that. So it's very, very important. So let's briefly look at that passage from Acts. The early church were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They studied scripture together. It's very important. It's not enough to have our own private prayer time. That's very important. And many Christians, I'm afraid, don't do that. That is crucial to growing in the spiritual life. But again, as the corporate side, it's 50-50. The individual and the corporate. We need what we're doing on a Wednesday evening. It's been great the last two occasions when we've met, that we've discussed together the Bible. We've been looking at spiritual warfare, something we all need to do. And it's been great to learn from one another. It's not a sermon. I can preach a sermon at the drop of a hat, in case you haven't noticed. But it isn't a sermon. It's meant to be sharing together. And we need to learn from God's word together. Secondly, they were devoted to fellowship. All the believers were together. Every day they continued to meet together. We spent a lot of time in the last few weeks whilst I've been here just going to meet people, to get to know people. That's part of being together. There's still more people to see, so don't worry if we haven't caught up with you yet. But it's very important we get to know one another, and we're really together in koinonia, in fellowship. Thirdly, they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Probably that means communion. It's not absolutely certain, but it probably means communion. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And we need to meet, and you can't have communion just on your own. I'm not talking about people in their own homes, you know, can't get out to church. That's a different issue, of course. Even then, there are two of them, the minister and the person. But laying that aside, we can't have communion without being together. It's a corporate meal. It's like having a party and you're the only one there. We're ridiculous. It's a celebration. And fourthly, they were devoted to prayer. And one of the great things about Wednesday evening, and of course we do pray on Sundays, but it's very brief. But one of the great things is that we've really prayed together. We need to learn, we need to go deeper in all these things. Of course we do. I'm not saying we've arrived, we haven't. But the Lord is blessing us in our prayers. Well, since they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, no wonder it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Do you know what I long for? Is that we will have such a fellowship, such a koinonia of people who individually love Jesus and have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We just need to ask him to fill us. And at the same time, we have a really united fellowship of such people. Then signs and wonders will happen to bring in people from Brough and Stainmore to the community of faith. That's what I long for. That's what I believe God wants. So our individual faith is vital. Our corporate koinonia is equally vital. And then we can pray for the Lord really to work with signs and wonders. So God's plan is to reach the world through the impact of a church in each place. So have you received the Holy Spirit? If you've asked Jesus into your life, you have. Have you received the fullness of the Spirit? Do you keep asking him to fill you with the Spirit? Don't just go back to a wonderful experience you had. I did, as you know, I had a wonderful experience, so did Patricia. But that is history. What about now? Lord, fill me today, I pray. And are you committed to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer? So, brothers and sisters, let's renew our personal walk with the Lord. Absolutely foundation. Nothing I've said about the corporate undermines that this morning. But let's also ensure we are a deeply committed koinonia. Not narrow-minded and excluding people, God forbid. We want to have open doors, others can join us. But a deeply committed koinonia, where we're committed to one another. We're, in a sense, teaching one another. We're learning from one another. We're breaking bread together, and we're praying together. That's absolutely crucial. It's part, a very important part, of the Lord's purpose for Brough and Stainmore. Father, we pray that you will renew our walk with you individually, but also, Lord, build us into a real koinonia, more and more, knowing one another, loving one another, being committed to one another, learning from one another, praying together and worshipping you together. Oh, Father, do that, we pray, and then may we see signs and wonders that would draw people in to the community of faith, into your church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.